Be reading a very familiar verse in Proverbs chapter 22, Proverbs 22 verse 6, and I wanted to take some time this morning to teach about it. I mentioned the verse is, as probably many of you could quote, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Last week I mentioned, and I just want to mention it again, that whenever we look into the language that scriptures were given to us, like Greek or Hebrew, we're not trying to correct scriptures. We're trying to gain a better understanding of it. God did not speak in English, so when we have an English word, it's close, but it's not the word that God used. So we can look back, we have to be careful because Satan has even infiltrated biblical scholars' ranks, and there's some there that want to detract from and take away from God's word. But if we have the right text, which we believe we have, God has preserved his own words for us, and we can either learn the language ourselves or learn from people who are faithful to God with the language, we can get even better understanding of what God's word says. We can help our misunderstandings. I mentioned the Hebrew language is full of perfect and imperfect verbs. I didn't mention these details. I'm filling this in. There are numerous figures of speech in Hebrew, lots of anthropomorphic expressions. Hebrew is a personal language suitable for biographies and stories, and it's a broad language that is for a specific people. Hebrew is the language of the Israelites, of the Jews, and so it's broad because it has what we might say local usage that can gain those specific people, gain an understanding better of it, or have a better understanding of it. The New Testament, God decided to use the language Greek to give us the New Testament, and Greek is a precise language that is suitable for theology. There is the definite article, meaning you can have a house or the house, and that shows up in Greek. There's exact prepositions. There's a precise case system in Greek, and so Greek is a precise language for general people, for all of us Gentiles. So when we came last summer, we finished the second half of a study in Proverbs, and we were talking about godly skill in godly child rearing, and we came to, we mentioned Proverbs 22:6, and I said at that time that this verse has been taught as a precious promise. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. It could be perceived to be neutral, so choose wisely. Train up a child this way, or train up a child that way. But I proposed and gave a short explanation for the idea that it was a consequence proverb. I don't have time to go through. There was like 8 different types of proverbs. There was parallels and extensions and all this. And we said, what if, or I believe that it is, a consequence proverb, which means the second phrase happens when you do the first phrase. So B happens when you A. So train a child in the way he wants to go. When he is old, he won't depart from it. We said even maturity won't grab him from the foolish way he was set upon. Now, I want to take the few minutes that we have left to expand on that and give you biblical Bible understanding to support that idea. I know that it can be taken to be contrary to what we've always understood about the verse. I'm going to bring us back to what we've understood about the verse because we can learn that from the real meaning of the verse. Let me just encourage you. We never lose the strength of Scripture by understanding it better. We can have a really strong stance. We can make up something that's bold and strong, but if it's not what Scripture says, we're not going to lose that bold, strong understanding by understanding Scripture better. So, I've got to go quickly. So if we took an extremely literal translation of this verse, we would find that there's only 8 words in the verse. In Hebrew, there's only 8 words. The first word, initiate, or initiate for the child on the mouth of his way. So 1, 2, 3, 4. Initiate or start up for the child on the mouth of his way. First 4 words. Then, even when he is old, he will not turn from it. That's the second 4 words. So first word, initiate. Second word, for the child. Third word, on the mouth of. Fourth word, his way. Fifth word, even when. Sixth word, he is old. Next word, he will not turn. Last word, from it. So I want us to look at these 8 words and get an understanding of it. So initiate, or what in our translation, train up. This gives us the idea of start out. I want to read Deuteronomy 20, verses 5 through 7. You will, I think, remember this passage. And the officer shall speak unto the people, saying, what man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. And what man is there, or what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in battle and another man take her. So these are 3 verses that have this idea in it. And the idea is not just the start of something. The man has betrothed the wife. He started, but he hasn't consummated his marriage. He hasn't, and, you know, so if we're, you know, it's not like, okay, now you're married, you've had your honeymoon, off to battle you go. That's not what God said here. He wanted them to be able to have time to get their marriage underway or to have actually lived in his house. Well, your house is finished, now you can go. No, he wants them to be able to live in the house. Same with everything. So this idea is not just a point in time start. It's a well underway type of a start. There's 2 other times this is used, and I'm not saying only 2 other, but 2 other times where it's understood clearly, and that is in the 2 descriptions of Solomon's dedication of the temple. So when Solomon dedicated the temple had already been started long before that. It took him, I think, 7 years to build the temple, but when it was finally finished, he brought 120,000 sacrifices. He got the whole system, the temple system with the sacrifices, all that going and running smoothly. It was going. So the idea is that this train up is to get something going on its way, and not just the foundation, all the way to the full running process. So train up means get them going all the way in a full running process. So the next word is for the child, or a child. Train up a child. And this is the word that means youth. In the Old Testament, this word can mean anywhere from someone that is not born yet to someone that is 17 or even 30, in the case of Joseph, years old. So there's a lot of range there. We're just going to say a child, a young man, we would say. Narrowed it to the book of Proverbs, all the other times that this word is used in Proverbs, which is the book that we're looking at, it is a child that is in need of instruction. We don't have the time to look at all of the list, but each time it's used, it's a child that needs instruction. So we're going to train up, send this child that needs instruction all the way on his way. So on the mouth of is an idiomatic expression. And I'm going quickly because I really want to get you this information. Maybe I'll have to post the notes later so you can get it. But on the mouth of is an idiomatic expression. Often, in the scriptures, it means a standard, a measure, a controlling factor. Also, it can mean according to the command of. So on the mount of, or what's translated in the way, one time it means at the mouth of a cave, but all the other times it's a standard. So the idea is how to start out the child. We're going to start out this child. We're going to set him on his way. How? How do we start out the child? After which standard is the question? In the standard, and the next word gives the answer. So start out this, get this child well on his way according to, the next word is his way. His way. So our translation, the King James Version, says he should go. So train up a child in the way according to the way he should go. All right? So if that meant a good way, there'd be a lot of ways that this could be said. Even in Proverbs, Solomon says that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, Proverbs 2:20. In Proverbs 4:11, he says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Proverbs 9:6, forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Proverbs 10:29, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright. Proverbs 16:31, the hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. Proverbs 21:16, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. And then Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. All right? So now, and he should go is his way, if we just took a literal. So train up a child in the way, his way. What are other, this is the word darko. Other proverb, all the other proverb occurrences of darko, however you say that in Hebrew. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. So who is his way? The Lord. It's right there in the same verse. The Lord possessed, the Lord his. Proverbs 11:5, the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way. So what is his way? The perfect, his, perfect his. Proverbs 14:8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. So what is his way? It's the prudent's way. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart devises his way. What is his way? The man's heart. This one is a little more general. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way. So he. It's not as clear, is it? But that's the only one. The rest. The foolishness of man perverteth his way. What is his way? The man's way. Man's goings. Proverbs 20:24. Man's goings of the Lord. How can a man then understand his way? So all but one of these have the referent expressly named in the same phrase. And then we come to train up a child in the way he should go. Who's he? What's the his way? It's the child's way. Okay. If we're looking at the Bible, what the Bible teaches. So his way would mean the child's way. So get this child started according to his way. That's the first four words. Second phrase, even when, or our translation says, and when he is old. And when he is old, or even when he is old. So this idea of even when is there. So we think even if he should grow old. You know, if a child is sent on his own way, and we know what the Bible says about our own way. Just go to Proverbs and think of all the children and their own way. So if he were to go his own way, even should he grow old, a child on this path or his path may not even grow old. He may not even grow old. But even if he were to physically mature, he will not turn from his indulgent beginnings. So even when he is old, he will not turn. Okay, that's the third word. He will not turn. So there's, I think, 16 other times in Proverbs that word is used. And 13 of those, or 80% of it, are cases where the turning is turning from evil to good. So if we, you know, if all the time this word meant turning from good to evil, we might say that his way was a good way. But 13 out of the 16 times, the other 16 times, the turning is from an evil way to a good way. So even if, you know, even if he were to get old, the way this word is used 13 out of 16 other times, the turning, he will not turn from the evil way to the good way. There are three times when it means to turn from a good way to an evil way. But if we're just looking at how it's normally used and the way the rest of the words fit, it would give us that impression. And so then it says, he will not turn from it. What is it? It's the way he's chosen, isn't it? Or it's the way that he's been sent on, or however we put it. So his own way. So we might say that this says, when a child is started out after the measure of his own chosen, foolish, godless way, even if he should manage to grow old, he will not turn from the evil of that way to the good of God's way. So, and say, that sounds way different than the verse. It's just a matter of reading it, even the words in the King James Version, the way it's meant to be understood. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's not a command. And it's not a promise. Now, it is literally, grammatically, whatever's the right word. Mrs. Marquez will help me there. It's an ironic imperative. Okay? It's an ironic imperative. It is telling you to do something. But it's an ironic imperative. There's a few others of these in Scripture. If you were to go to Judges chapter 10, verse 14, this is a time, one of the many times in Judges when the people had gone away from God. They were under his judgment. They cried out to God. And God comes back to them and says, go pray to your gods. That's a command, wasn't it? You think God really wanted them to go pray to their gods? No, it was an ironic imperative. Go pray to your gods. There's another time, 1 Kings 18:27. Elijah is on the mountain, Mount Carmel, with the prophets of Baal, and they're worshiping, and they're trying to get fire to come down from heaven, and nothing's happened. So Elijah says to them, cry out louder. Did he think if they cried out louder that Baal would answer them? No, but he was telling them to do it, right? Jesus, when he was in the temple, and he was cleaning the temple out, and they came to him and said, why do you do this? He says, destroy me, destroy this temple. And he was talking about himself. Destroy this temple, destroy me, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Was he telling the Pharisees to kill him? No. But if we take it literally, you know, without the irony, that's what it means. And that's what this is. Train up a child in the way he should go. It's an ironic imperative. So it's not a command that we should be following. And it's not a promise. And I have to say, I'm saying this boldly because I'm way more assured of it than when I have preached, and I'm admitting this, when I have preached that it was a promise. Okay? We can gain instruction from it, but I don't think these words are a promise. They're a warning. Maturity is not automatic. And maturity in the Lord, even less so. We can't just let them go. I don't have the time. But it can't be that we like, well, they went to Sunday school, so they're going to get it. This is we, parents, we have to, and it can't be just that we lay this foundation. You know, if we take the temple, you know, 7 years of building it, whatever. They have to be well on their way, going in the way that they should go. Maturity, the fear of the Lord, must be instilled early, and it must be monitored. And how do we do that? Proverbs tells us the rod and reproof give wisdom. The rod and reproof give wisdom. So we can get a lesson from this warning. Basically, he says, if you start out a boy according to his own way, Solomon tells us this, if you start out a boy according to his own way, he will never grow out of it. Therefore, do not start him out according to his own way. Rather, start him out according to God's way. So, Solomon basically says, he's been teaching, this is Proverbs 22, he's been teaching over and over and over again the fear of the Lord and wisdom and so much about how to rear children, right? So much instruction to his to sons. So we get to Proverbs 22 about two-thirds of the way through, and in effect, he might be saying something like this. You don't believe me? You think your child is an exception? You think it's best just to give him his lead, let him track his own course? Is it just too much trouble for you to love God, take his word, follow him, and teach his ways to your child? Is it too hard to cross your child's will, to teach him, to reach out to his heart? Are you, after all, not wiser and not stronger than your child? Is it too hard to care, to work, and be consistent both in teaching and in discipline? Fine then. Have it your way. Leave them be. Start them off thinking there's no God to answer to. That there are no borders and no consequences. That there will be no day of judgment. Let them think it is safe to follow his own impulses. Unjudged and unfiltered. Start him off following his own foolish heart, his own desires, his own drives. Start him off according to his own way. But I'll tell you this, even if he does make it to adulthood, which I can't guarantee, he'll never, ever turn from that evil way you started him on. Sound like fun? No. Then don't do it. But Solomon said all that with just 8 words. And let me just encourage you, and I do mean this as an encouragement, especially to those whose kids aren't there. But if you're on this path and you say, well, I started them out right, I'll be okay. If they're still in your home, if they've just left their home, and they are the type of person that doesn't appreciate borders, that doesn't act as if they have a God to answer to, that thinks that their own impulses, without judging them by the scriptures, without filtering them through God's word, is a good way to go, they're headed for big trouble, even if they have a suit and a tie on. So, this is a warning to us. Train up a child in the way he would go. And Proverbs uses sons, but it happens to daughters too. Let them go. Let them go. Well, now that they're 13 and 14, it's harder to fight with them. So now they're wiser and stronger than you? Now they know, you know, you've trained them so well for 12 years, they're ready to go on their way? Let them go his way. Let them be 13 or 14 or 15 and begin to just let them have his lead and go his way. If he makes it to old age, he won't turn from his way. Don't do that. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that what I believe is this proper understanding of your word would be even more of a challenge to us to train our children in the way that you would have us to. Not let them go their own way. Not let them have their own lead. Don't, you know, while we love them, not just let them do whatever they want. Don't let them argue with us. Don't let them